This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan, always live on the free Odyssey app.
About it. 405 McMonagle here with you on the Fan. Other than it's my little guy's birthday, happy birthday, Andrew. But other than that, it stinks. As the New York Knicks drop game number 4 to the Indiana Pacers, 130-129, and now the Pacers have a commanding 3-1 lead. We've been talking about it all morning. As the New York Knicks lost this game for a bunch of reasons, but right at the top for me, one, just the effort, which is so much what we talk about with this team. I mean, they just did not come out with the effort that they were the desperate team yet again. They allowed 40 points in the first quarter, and even though they battled back from that and found ways, like the turnovers, 17 turnovers that lead to 20 points, and specifically Hart, who, in my mind, that is by far the worst game he's played in a Knick uniform. He has been... I mean, he's been bad all series to the point they took him out of the starting five, but he was awful in this game with just terrible passes that he's trying to thread the needle in, and passes that honestly, even if he did thread the needle and made the passes, he didn't put his teammates in a position to score with those passes. It was awful, and that's one of the main differences in the game: the 17 turnovers that lead to 20 points, the 22-2. Differential in fast break points, as those turnovers led to fast break points. I mean, the Pacers were able to get fast breaks off of makes. Off of made layups would turn into fast break points for the Indiana Pacers. It was just a sloppy, ugly game where the Knicks couldn't close out quarters. Every single quarter, they battled back. After giving up that 43-point first quarter, they battle back in the second quarter to take a 2-point lead, and then they, at the end of the quarter, give up a 6-0 run or whatever it was, and then in the final second of a miss, Hart has a stupid foul and leads to foul shots, and you end up with a 5-point deficit heading into the halftime, and then coming out of the half, in my mind, the worst example of the lack of energy, the worst example of the lack of urgency is how they started that third quarter with back-to-back turnovers and allowed that run to continue. And what was a 2-point lead in the span of a total of 7 or 8 minutes became a 12-point loss over the end of the second quarter and the beginning of the third quarter. They allowed Halliburton to have something no one in playoff history has had, a 30-point triple-double with no turnovers, while the Knicks are spitting it up all over the place. They have their star scoring 31 points in this game. That's Jalen Brunson scoring 31 points in this game. Their star scoring 32 points in this game, and Jalen Brunson, after a hot start to the game, has 2 points in the fourth quarter. As almost every shot in the fourth quarter, while they're trying to come back, goes through Mikal Bridges, who didn't hit a shot until the fourth quarter. It was just an ugly performance, a game that I expected far better from this team. A sloppy, unmotivated, ugly, disappointing, disjointed performance from a Knick team that needed better if they were going to keep up with this Indiana Pacers team. And they just, let's be totally fair. As much as I'm complaining about the Knicks' turnovers, and like, that's true too. And we've spent a lot of time on the coach because I know how the fan base is. I know how we talk about Tibbs. This isn't about the coach either. This is about the Indiana Pacers being a better team through the first four games of the series. Like, there's no other way to put it. The Knicks didn't play well. The Pacers played well. You know, they were talking about on the broadcast that, you know, Reggie talked about the idea that it was going to be Halliburton versus Brunson. And I think most Knicks fans would have felt that if that was what this series was going to come down to, Halliburton versus Brunson, that we'd be in good shape. And the fact of the matter is, as great as Brunson is and as many 40-point performances he's put up, and even in this game, early on in the game, keeping them afloat with his offensive performance, I think he scored 12 in the first quarter. From the minute that shot went off the back of the rim, up in the air, and back down to send this game to overtime in game one, their star player has played better than ours. Their, you know, most overrated player in the NBA beat our captain clutch. Karl-Anthony Towns, who had a great run in the fourth quarter of game number three, dominated, took over, scored 20 points. He's just not consistently that guy when it feels like with this particular matchup, he could be, he should be, and he's just not. He's just not. And when you have your glue guy, your guy who's supposed to fill in the cracks and give you whatever you need some threes, Josh Hart can get it. You need some big rebounds, Josh Hart will get it. You need a steal, you need to get to the foul line, you need to defend, Josh Hart will do it, whatever they need. Well, he did whatever the Pacers needed last night. He was atrocious in the game. And we can blame Tibbs and talk about how, you know, he didn't do this, he didn't do that. I know, he didn't play Landry Shamet enough. That's the problem. He didn't play Dylan Wright enough. That's the issue. Clearly, that's the issue. Wright and Shamet have to be on the floor. Now, I could argue that Hart should have been off the floor, but the idea that we're going to scream and cry because it helped in, you know, the end of the fourth quarter of game three when Towns was going off and they helped defensively and played a damn good game. He pulled his card in game three. It worked. It's not going to work every time. It's not going to work every time, and it didn't work last night, and it wasn't working last night, and it would not have worked last night. They need their best players to play good enough to win. And Siakam and Halliburton and even Nesmith, who didn't go off scoring-wise only, but 2 of 6, but he hits those first two, answers the questions about his ankle early in the game, and then plays lights-out defense against Jalen Brunson. They've been better than the Knicks. And now they'll, you know, welcome the Indiana Pacers into Madison Square Garden tomorrow night to try and save their lives in a game number 5 and force game 6 back on Saturday night in Indiana. But, you know, we spent a lot of time on Tibbs, and me and Marco were just talking about it. And I don't understand the cries for firing Tibbs. I just don't, with everything he's done. And then the other thing, like his you know, he's the coach who's proven that he can take you so far and can't get you higher. Like, I don't, is that really proven? Because, like, let me ask you, maybe he took teams as far as they could go with who they were and how talented they were. Did the Bulls get better after he left? When he left Chicago, did the Bulls get better? When he left Minnesota, how did they do in the couple years? Now, you know, they've been to back-to-back Western Conference Finals, but in the years immediately after he left, how did the Timberwolves do? Like, and not to knock Buck Showalter, but Buck Showalter is the guy, you know, you want to talk about a guy who took them to a certain level, but no further. Buck Showalter takes the Yankees to the ALDS. Joe Torre comes in and wins championships. Buck Showalter takes the Arizona Diamondbacks team to the playoffs. The next guy comes in and wins championships. Like, we don't know what Tibbs' level is. I can tell you this. He beat a team nobody thought they'd beat. And right now we can complain and talk about adjustments and their problem, and they all have a vein of truth in them. And I wish he had more answers than he has, but I watch these games. I'm sorry. The Knicks haven't been good enough to win them. And the players they rely upon and the players they depend upon and the players who are supposed to win these games for them are not doing it. We could scream about Tibbs. The New York Knicks aren't good enough to beat the Indiana Pacers. That's what we've learned through the first four games of this series. 888-808-1019. Let's try Jeffrey again. Jeffrey in Charlotte. What's up, Jeffrey?
I'm sorry about that, Chris.
That's all right, buddy.
I'm on the road tonight, man. I'm dozing in and out. My phone went on mute. But, hey, I love your show, man. I'm on the road a lot. You keep me awake, and wanted to say
well,
that.
It sounds
and,
like tonight I'm struggling with that. Hopefully stay awake, buddy. Don't be dozing on the road. That's dangerous.
Well, we got stuck here. So.
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah. But me and my dog got stuck here. But hey, you make some great points about Tibbs. I was a Tibbs guy, but I'm starting to change on that based on what he did with the Boston series. But if I can, you made some really good points, and I just want to point out a few of them. One, first of all, in a series like this, you figure you're going to have to win two on the road, right? In an even series. But no one expected them to rip our hearts out. I mean, they ripped my heart out in game one, man. I still haven't gotten over game one. I mean, and I'm not going to point blame where, but you just can't, you know, blow game one. And then Chris, I was listening that night, and you pointed out, like, you know, they played very well. How can they come back from that in game two? And you worried about game two, and for good reason.
Yeah, I was worried about game two. I was.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Me too, because there's no way they should have lost that one. And then you won one, you get the one up there, and then, you know, you're 2-2. But I knew they would have a hard time winning tonight. Again, I didn't watch the game. I'll watch it later when I get home, but I didn't see the turnovers and everything. But from the point perspective, you got what you needed from certain people. I guess the turnovers killed us. But one last thing I want to say is that like you said, you know, again, another great point. But you bring up is that you cannot lose tomorrow night.
No.
And if you win tomorrow night, you figure you're going to win. You have to win two up there anyway. You still got a shot to go back up there and get one more. But they have not played well at home. And then Chris, one last thing. One of the things I'm not so hard on them is because I'm sitting here season ticket over. I'm watching the Hornets. Okay.
No. So, I could understand that, Jeffrey. Yeah, they're not the Hornets. I understand that. And look, I don't want to make it seem like just making the Knicks respectable is enough to have your job forever. Like I'm just saying, like. I understand Mikal Bridges was bad in this game and he played 34 minutes. I understand Josh Hart is bad in this game. He played 36 minutes. Like, these are the guys that have gotten you here. Do you honestly think, like, again, and the other thing is, Mitchell Robinson, right? He plays 19 minutes in this game. He starts the game. He hasn't played that many minutes. Like, over the course of the year, he just hasn't played that many minutes. They were talking about it on the broadcast. You can't wear him out either. Like, he can't. Those guys have been used to it. Those guys are the key members. You traded 5 picks for Mikal Bridges. He's got to be out there helping you win. Otherwise, you're not good enough. Like, the idea, no, I want Shamet out there. Oh, why isn't Cameron Payne out there instead of Mikal Bridges? Like, I just don't see that. I don't understand how that is the reason they're not winning. They're not winning because Mikal Bridges didn't play well. They're not winning because every one of us loves Josh Hart. We love him. He was awful in this game. He was turning the ball over. Yeah, I would have taken him out a little bit too and just sat his ass on the bench and said, stop making passes. But again, they don't have better options. They don't. They don't. Right off a turnover, double dribbled for no reason. Like they, it's not like they're loaded. McBride didn't play well in this game either. Hit one shot. They didn't play well. I don't put this game on Tibbs. I really don't. The Knicks didn't play well. Ben in Princeton. What's up, Ben?
Hey, good morning, Matt. How are you?
Good morning. Good. How are you?
All right. So listen, I'd like to say a couple things here. First thing first, the Knicks' back is up against the wall. We all know that, right? I expect them to win game 5, possibly pull out game 6, but it's a stretch to ask them to win 3 games in a row the way they've been playing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To win this series.
It's very difficult.
I'm a realistic Knicks fan. It's doable, but it's unlikely. I'm not trying to be negative nanny.
No, but you can't look at it that way. Like you got to look at it, go win game 5. Because let's be totally honest, like winning 3 in a row sounds, you know, it's the cliche thing you talk about when you're down this many games in a series. Like winning 3 in a row sounds very difficult. If they win game 5, suddenly all you got to do is win game 6, and that doesn't sound so crazy. They've won a game in Indiana. So like you got to take it one game at a time. And right now, even more than winning the series, I want this team to show up at Madison Square Garden. I don't want to lose this series in 5. I don't want to lose all 3 games played at Madison Square Garden in the series. I don't want to get embarrassed on my home floor. So put aside winning the series. This team that I have trusted and have shouted at the top of my lungs for the last 2 weeks, I trust them, I trust them, I trust them. They better freaking show up. Because right now, despite how this series may go, and as disappointing as it's going to be, no matter how it ends, after winning the Celtics series and then feeling like there was a clear path to getting to an NBA Finals and maybe, just maybe, although we all know how tough OKC is, just maybe winning your first NBA championship since 1973, to lose this series like this when we all thought they had a chance to win, it's going to be heartbreaking no matter what. But 2 months from now, 3 months from now, we might be able to look back and say, hey, it was a great season. They beat the defending champs. Nobody thought they could do it. They got to their first Eastern Conference Finals in 25 years. Maybe we'll be able to have a little bit of a place in our heart for this team. I don't know if we will if they get embarrassed all 3 games at Madison Square Garden. I don't know if we will if they don't get up off the deck and find a way to at least make Indiana travel back home. Like I don't know if we will. I don't know if I will.
I don't think that's going to happen, though, Chris. And then a couple points, though. And just hit me out on it.
Okay.
No matter, my measuring stick was with this team to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. No matter what the outcome might be this year, the season was a success. As a longtime Knicks fan, I'm here to say that. We might be disappointed and in our feelings as to what happens if we lose this series, but let's be realistic. It's a building process in the NBA to get to a certain level. And I didn't think going into these playoffs that we were a championship team yet. So, yes, the ball kind of bounced our way where we might have been able to dream. But that being said, we're going to fall short because a couple things. Like, you look at Indiana and you say, you know, Indiana's been better than us. And that's true. But when you look at the way they play, how they move the ball, and when their shooters get the opportunity, they knock down shots. Our guys don't do that. No. And really watch these games. Our guys are knocking down their shots. They're wide open. Bridges, OG, you know, sometimes Deuce. They're just cranking these balls left and right, off the rim, air balls, whatever it might be. Indiana's guys are not only knocking down shots, but they're throwing the kitchen sink at Brunson. It's just not Nembhard. It's the rest of the guys that are bumping them, picking them, just doing the little things that need to be done to win. And that's my last point, and I'm going to say this. I'm a Tibbs guy. I agree with you wholeheartedly. This is not on Tibbs. We're just not there yet. We need another big athletic ball handling possible wing that we can come on in and put a defender like on a Brunson, not on Brunson, on Halliburton, right, in the offseason. One of those big defensive players.
I thought that's what OG Anunoby was. I thought that's what OG Anunoby was. Because, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I saw Knick fans going all over, beside themselves, all over social media or whatever, pissed off he's not the, you know, part of the all-team defensive NBA team. I thought he's supposed to be someone who can stop. I thought, you know, Mikal Bridges is one of the better two-way players in the NBA. I thought that's what we were getting. I thought that's who they were. Like, I get it. Yeah, it is a building process. And I do think this is the first year, and it's a chemistry building process. Like, this is their first year. But make no mistake, you can say at the beginning of all of this, when you knew the Celtics were going to be the obstacle in front of it, hey, if you get to an Eastern Conference Finals, the season's a success. That's easy to say when you knew you were going to have to beat the unbeatable on your way there. And so to imagine, hey, beating the Celtics, oh, if I don't beat Cleveland after that, I'll live with it. But it's not Cleveland. And I'm not trying to knock the Pacers, and maybe they're better than we gave them credit for. In fact, I think you could just eliminate the maybe. They are better than we gave them credit for. But things reassess every time you get past another round. Nobody expected them to beat the Celtics. They did. And yes, we all danced that it was going back to the Eastern Conference Finals for the first time in 25 years, no doubt. But things change. And the Pacers are a team that they had home court advantage against, had a 17-point lead in the fourth quarter and a 14-point lead with 2.5 minutes left, and they're going to lose this series. I can't just sit back and go, well, hey, it's a building process. We would have all signed for, you know, being in the Eastern Conference Finals. I can't do that. There's got to be some level of disappointment here in how they've played. And some questions about, and I think the questions about the coach are fine. I just think firing is, you know, off of that win. I mean, that just sounds like a lot. I'm going to have a tough time firing a coach who's developed all these players, turned around my franchise, and then just beat the Boston Celtics and the defending champs when nobody said we could. I mean, to me, that's a job-saving win. Next year, now you have to get to the NBA Finals. All right. But again, I do think there is something to be said about this team gelling, and specifically its two best offensive players. They've got to get to a point where the two of them can make an offense work. There's got to be a level of a two-man game. There's got to be a pick and roll. There's got to be something where you don't feel like, when they're on the floor at the same time, it's almost a waste because they're both not good defensively and they both can't be productive offensively together. Like, that's the problem right now. We talk about the starting five and using the bench. The problem is the two best players on the team don't work together offensively and are both defensive liabilities. So it almost, you're hurt when they're both on the floor because you got two players that hurt you defensively and only one at a time that can impact you offensively. That is the major flaw with the team right now and how the pieces fit. Their two best players create a two-headed problem defensively, but only one of them at a time can hurt you offensively. They've got to find a way where they both contribute to beating you offensively. And Karl Anthony Towns, in particular, in this matchup, should be more dominant. We should see more stretches like the fourth quarter of game number three. Right? I praised him the other day. He deserved praising. He saved the Knicks season. He deserved the praise. He was great in the fourth quarter. And if they ever would have found a way to win this series, or ever do find a way to win this series, his performance in that game will go down, and I'm sure to actually finish this thing off, they're going to need another performance like that from either him or somebody else. But like, that's going to go down as a heroic, memorable, franchise-saving, season-saving moments, and his Nick moment that fourth quarter. But there should be more of it. He shouldn't have 2 points in this fourth quarter. Like, that's the problem. 20 points in game three's fourth quarter is wonderful. Why is it only two in this fourth quarter? I mean, he's got the same advantage. This team has a real problem finishing around the rim. Mikal Bridges doesn't hit if his mid-range games is off, that's all he's got. But he doesn't finish around the rim. OG Anunoby doesn't finish around the rim at all. Josh Hart, unless it's coast to coast, he doesn't finish around the rim. Like, it's just, you know, they need to hit their open shots, and if they miss them, they don't have another, like, and let's be fair, it's Brunson versus Halliburton, as Reggie Miller said in the broadcast. Halliburton kicked his ass. You have to just own that. We can hate all the different people we hate, and we love Brunson. He gets it. He saved us a ton of money by signing the contract at the beginning of this season as opposed to what he could have waited for. He's a great player. He gets it. All these 40-point performances, it's amazing. He's transformed the franchise as much as the coach, as much as Leon Rose. It's been Jalen Brunson turning the Knicks around into what they've become. I love him. We'll always love him. Hopefully his number's going to hang in the rafters. I don't see why it won't. Halliburton's the better player in this series. And we're not going to win no matter what the coach does if that's the case.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite teams here on The Fan.
McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. Trying to come to terms with this first four-game debacle of this series as the Knicks are down 3-1. Trying to place blame, but ultimately, look, we could find a million different things to complain about. The Indiana Pacers have taken to the Knicks. I mean, that's really, we could talk about, I know people want to talk about that flurry of foul calls, which, again, I agree with. It seemed a lot of ticky-tack fouls against the Knicks, and then like you go right back down the court, and OG Anunoby gets hit in the head. There's no foul call. But even that, I have a tough time blaming anything other than the Indiana Pacers playing a better brand of basketball. Their superstar having the first ever, I was just reading this from the NBA. I don't know if it matters, but he did two things that had never been done before. No player had ever scored 30 points in a triple-double, with zero turnovers. No player had ever had a triple-double with with 30 points and 5 3-pointers taken. So no one had done either with zero turnovers or 5 threes made. He did it with both. I mean, it's a great performance, and we have not gotten that as Knicks fans from our guys. 888-808-1019. Mike in Paramus. What's up, Mike?
Get the lefty scissors out and cut Brunson's minutes. He's too short to play defense. Cat is as zesty as toss your salad dressing. And the Knicks are hanging into the playoffs like the hair on Tibbs' head. All right, bye.
The all right, bye is the best. Like, I've been waiting on hold for 15 minutes to read this. All right, bye. Something about salad, Tibbs' head, bye. Yeah, look, Brunson was sloppy with the basketball, too many turnovers. He scores 2 points in the fourth quarter, and the fourth quarter was mind-numbing. Like, what are they doing? I know he hit a couple of threes, but then it just felt like they were playing to get 3-point attempts for Mikal Bridges. Like, what are we doing? There was a lot of confusing things about what went on in this game. But to me, the one that bothers me the most, after losing the last 90 seconds of the second quarter as badly as they did, and turning a 2-point lead into a 5-point deficit, including a dumb foul from Hart for going for an offensive rebound with 1.1 seconds left that allows them to shoot foul shots. And it's a 5-point first half deficit. And they come out in the third quarter and just give the ball away. Just give the ball away. And if it wasn't for some 3-point missed shots from the Pacers, it would have been worse. But they allow what was in the span of, I think, a total of 7 or 8 minutes, they allow a 2-point lead through halftime and into the third quarter to become a 12-point deficit. And I understand they've come from behind, and I understand they even got it down to a 6-point game at one point after that. It's hard to do that. It's hard to battle back. It's hard to make it all the way back from a 12-point deficit. Sure, they got it down to 6. If they just kept it at 6, the game would have been tied. Like, it's that stretch of basketball right there. That's where you give the game away. Being lazy, coming out of the halftime. Back-to-back ugly turnovers to start the third quarter. And allowing them to jump out to a big lead like that. Allowing the crowd to get in it. Giving up an open look to Siakam for a three that changes the game, man. It was just, the way they came out at a halftime was embarrassing. It was embarrassing. Steve in Staten Island. What's up, Steve?
Hey, what's going on, man? Thanks for taking a call.
You got it, buddy.
Yeah, so, I mean, listen, in my opinion, it's just the frustration level on Brunson just looks incredible, right? I mean, yeah, he had his 30 points, but what's his percentages? I think they're super low, right? His turnovers. Shooting.
Well, he had 3 turnovers.
Talking about his shooting.
Oh no, his shooting percentage.
30%. Yeah,
he shot 9 of 19 and 2 of 6. 9 of 19 overall from the floor and 2 of 6 from 3-point land. He scored 31 points. 11 of them are from the free throw line.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it looks like Melo back in the day, right? There's isolation and you know, he's just got to make his team better. I mean, regardless of any of that, right? Yeah, they didn't do great, but at the end of the day, Indiana's is scoring points at will. At will. We're going down fighting for buckets. They're coming down easily, wide open, you know, wide open shots. We can't beat them in a high-scoring game. I think we have to keep them under 110. To even have a shot, because they just run all over us.
I mean, I guess. I mean, they had the game won. I mean, 110, I guess, but they had the game won in game one, and the game one went like this. They came out and hit every shot to start the game. That was a high-scoring, back-and-forth kind of thing. Game three was really the only game that felt like a defensive game at all. Game one was back and forth. And they had the game won with a 14-point lead in 2.5 minutes. I agree. If you're going to continue to play at that pace, you can continue to play at these high-scoring games, it favors the Pacers. I don't disagree. But at some point, and this is why it sucks to lose game one, because that's one of the games where the Pacers did dictate the play and the style and the pace, and you still had them beat. Like, it's hard. Like, in the series, there are going to be some games where they play at their pace. The Knicks are going to have some games where they play at their pace. It's hard to just have it one-sided the entire series, and that's why game one, we're always going to look back, no matter when they win or lose the series. Obviously, winning would be remarkable. But if they lose the series, whenever they lose the series, we're all going to look back at game number one, and if only they figured out that the whole series changes if they win game one. That's what we're all going to say, and it's probably true. But it doesn't mean they would have won the series necessarily, but it would have been a different series. But yeah, I mean, look, there's no doubt. There's also the idea of just bringing up the ball. Like, if you notice this too, they make it very difficult to bring up the ball. The Pistons did it too. And the Pacers are starting to do it, where they're on Brunson the full 90, they're on Brunson from the jump. And not only does it make Brunson work hard, but it also limits, if it takes you 7 seconds to get it across the court, now you're down to 17 seconds on the shot clock in an offensive possession. And that just makes you work harder. There's no doubt. And they scored 22 fast break points. Buckets were easier for them. Getting to the rim was easy. Now, there was a stretch where it was easy for both teams. The Knicks were getting easy buckets. There was a stretch. They did score, 121 points in this game. They scored 35 points in the first quarter. That first quarter was fast-paced, back and forth. So I understand. Look, it's the defense is the number one issue. I don't think anyone could argue that. They scored 130 points. I get it. But I knew there was going to be moments where they were going to make it very difficult to stop them. This is who the Pacers are. They put up points. The Knicks also have to find ways to get better offensive possessions. And honestly, if they don't turn the ball over as much, they don't give up 130 points. Like, the defense did get some stops. They missed a bunch of shots. They shot 40% from three. The Knicks actually had a better shooting percentage. We're talking about, they made their shots. The Knicks missed their shots. The Knicks shot a higher percentage from three-point land. The Knicks were 12 of 28. They were 13 of 32. They hit one more three and shot it at a worse clip. Now, they shot 51% overall from the floor, and the Knicks shot 46%. But those are paint buckets. Those are easy layups. And they're fast break points off of turnovers and missed shots. And even some makes, even some layups. That's the other problem with Karl-Anthony Towns I've noticed too. Like, even when Karl-Anthony Towns makes a bucket, like if it's a layup, if it's him driving to the basket, he puts it in and then is, 3 feet behind the baseline looking for a foul with it down the floor with numbers. That's been a problem too. They've been outrun. It's transition defense. It's not even just half court defense. It's transition.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Defense. Catch all the play-by-play with Susan Waldman and Dave Sims on the home of Yankees radio, The Fan.
All right, 4:52, another few minutes. Let's get through as many calls as we can as we commiserate as the New York Knicks season appears all but over. But it's not. There is a game to be played tomorrow night. And if this Knicks team has shown us anything, they have shown us resiliency. And this was a terrible performance. And why I was so concerned about game two is because we've seen them bounce back from terrible performances, but game one wasn't. Game one was just a botched ending. Game one, they played well. Game one, they had a 17-point lead in the fourth quarter. Game one, they were the better team. Bouncing back off of just a blown last 2.5 minutes concerned me because it's the entire effort. You know, they come back after getting blown out in game three against the Celtics, after getting blown out in game five. They haven't put terrible efforts back to back. And that's what scared me about game two, because their effort in game one was really good and it should have been a victory and it wasn't. But game five, coming back home off of this effort, I expect them to show up. I expect them to show up. I expect them to win this game and then go back for game number six, and we'll see what they can do there. The series isn't necessarily over. It's just on life support. And it was a frustrating loss filled with a bunch of mistakes, sloppy play, poor defense, poor shooting, and a night that doesn't give you much confidence about the rest of the series, but it does continue in two nights, and we'll see what they give us. 888-808-1019. It can't die yet! We're having too much fun, or misery, one or the other. Chris in Port Washington, what's up, Chris?
What's up, dude? How are you?
Good, man. How are you?
Okay, so listen, there's two ways to get better, right? They're going to be stuck with Towns. They're not stuck with, but there's almost no comp in the league that they can go out and make a trade for him. So here's what they do. Sign Chris Paul to back up Brunson and go the other way. Sign another defender. Because if you look at these guys, man, they're playing 5-on-3 on offense and 5-on-4 on defense. Brunson really wants to help the team and go over the top. He's because if it's number hanging from the rafters, he's got to be okay with getting rid of the $18 million from Hart. Because you look at OG Anunoby at the end of the games, dude. He shot. Bridges is shot. Brunson is shot. They're playing 5-on-3 on offense. Right, that's why it's hero ball, because he's got nowhere. They're locking down the other two guys out there. Hart can't. He's not out there for offense. Then when they come down the floor on defense, he's got to go cover for Towns. They got to get another wing defender because Thibodeau's not going anywhere either. Right?
Yeah.
Brunson saves his job in Detroit against Detroit. If he lost that series, fine.
Yeah.
He's not going. He's not going anywhere.
I agree.
And they don't have any money to sign anybody. So there's minimum guys out there. And if you think the Heat are not going to give you Bam Adebayo, you're not going to trade for Durant, and you're not going to trade for Booker, so keep Robinson. Try to get out of the Alcatraz that is Josh Hart. Or they gave OG $40 million, right? Mm-hmm. They're getting half of him because all he can do is defend. His legs are shot. You think that guy's hitting the front of the rim in game one if he has half a break on offense? And listen, a little bit is it on Tibbs. Sure. Runs him into the ground. They only got 6 or 7 guys. Where was Deuce McBride today?
Now?
So, what happened? Did he blow his nose? He doesn't have to play?
He played. Well, I mean, he played, it's not like he didn't play. He played 15 minutes.
But listen, he didn't play well.
He was a minus 14 on the floor.
I know. He has changed my perspective of him being there. But you know what? If you can get somebody like Chris Paul, veteran minimum, comes in, gives them a little bit of a break. They need another.
Where does he give them a break? Defensively?
No. Just another guy on offense to get out there. Because then if you go small, then you could put McBride. You could put Brunson out there. And if you get McBride out or Chris Paul up.
What do you think Paul has left, though? Like, what do you expect Paul to do out there offensively?
Yeah, you know what? I'm grasping at straws.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I hear you, Chris. Look, if you want to tell me they need another guy, they do. Like, they need to get a more well-rounded roster. There's no doubt. That's what you'd like. I do understand your point about the level of effort he's got to put into the defensive side of it, but like, this is the playoffs. You got to figure it out. They're playing two ways. I mean, let's be honest. You know, Nesmith is playing two ways. He's playing Brunson, and then he's hitting threes. Sevy in Norwalk. What's up, Sevy?
How you doing, man?
Good. How are you?
All right. I'm going to say if they lose, not when they lose, although I believe they're going to lose. If they lose, they're going to blame Tibbs. Tibbs is a damn good coach. They're going to blame Cat. Cat's a damn good player. They're going to blame Brunson. Brunson's fantastic. It's none of that. These guys are better. They're better. They're faster in the transition. They've got more weapons that hurt you. They don't rely on one or two players. Everybody scores. Everybody plays defense. I think we're learning the pace is just better. You know, it's all there's to it. The roster is a better roster.
Yeah. I don't think that's entirely wrong. I think what you're seeing is that they were in this spot last year. They've grown from it. They're the same team. The Knicks have kind of, you know, dramatically changed who they are. They're a different team. They haven't had the chemistry of playing together the way the Pacers have. They are deeper. There's no question about it. They have multiple guys who can score and defend. And let's be honest, they just, you know, we probably underestimated them because they beat a Cleveland team that was hampered by injuries to three of their best players, which is significant, but they put down in five and all of those guys played in game five and they came from behind and they came, you know, they had miraculous wins against Milwaukee. They did, and Halliburton's been doing this the entire postseason. So yeah, we probably underestimated how good they are. And I don't think without question. I know they could have won game one, should have won game one. The Pacers have been the better team in this series. I don't think there's any doubt. The Pacers have been the better team because they could have won game three. Mitch, I apologize. And I didn't get the bread either. I'm sure he thinks it's intentional. It's not. Although it should be. Thank you guys for calling. Thank you for listening. Mitch, I'm sorry, man. I'll get to you, Brett, as well. We'll get to you tomorrow. There's always tomorrow. And for the Knicks, there's always Thursday night. Game 5, Madison Square Garden. It better be a win. Thank you guys for calling. Thank you for listening. Fleegs on the other side. The warm-up show is next. I'll catch you again tomorrow after Yankee baseball as they look to sweep the Anaheim Angels. The Mets are on earlier in the day because of weather. If you're unaware of that, they'll be earlier in the day today. But enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. The warm-up show is next. I'll catch you after Yankee baseball tomorrow. Let's go, Knicks. Bye-bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN, New York.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.